cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, lovely people of Earth. How are you? That's what Yoko Ono used to say. Now I find myself saying it to people too. I feel like an alien.
How, people of Earth, how are you? Hello. Very nice to see you. I did not kill John Lennon. I did not send him out onto the street to be murdered by that man. No, wasn't me, Mark David Chapman. I don't know him. Nowhere I know him. I was just sitting quietly in my little apartment in that building, in your famous building, Dakota Building, in New York. And I just busy listening to old song I write with John Lennon. And then suddenly I hear the boom, boom, boom in the street. I got to a window and I go, oh no, it must be Mark David Chapman again.
Well, that's the way I, you know, in my head, like there's an alternate history happening all the time. And it's all just completely made up bullshit, which is why I should never write a history book. Because I'd add my own bullshit to it, I'm telling you. We've got Bulelo Tinta, we've got Pumi Mashiho, you've got me. What did you do to deserve this? You must have done something terrible in your previous life, but here we are.
Indeed.
Here we are. Good morning.
So, stuff to do, people to see, places to go, things to talk about this morning. Among other things, we will have the Burning Platform, which I know is everybody's favorite thing on a Thursday, and today should be no different. We've got a hell of a lineup. So we've got Canthan making a star appearance because he doesn't have to do the school run for a change. So
because it's holidays. Is it because it's school holidays yet?
I think he's off this week and next week with child-minding duties. And so we can congratulate him almost a month later on his birthday, but we can also check in with Canthan. And then this morning we're going to have Rob Hirsov on, who's been making waves. I don't think it was his intention to make waves. He was speaking at a BizNews conference as a businessman and investor in South Africa, one of the few people who's actually putting money into infrastructure in the private sphere. You know, he's building an airport in Cape Town. And he's just launched the Cape Town Stock Exchange, or the Cape Stock Exchange. And he really cares enormously about South Africa, but he got himself into some hot water, as you do. And Pumi and I know this better than anyone. You open your mouth and you say things about politics that are not the mainstream views, and people come down on you like a ton of bricks. And poor old Rob Hirsov found himself in the hot water, but he's happy to come on and talk to us this morning, even though he's still getting heat from a number of different quarters. And you know, you get threatened in business because business people, by and large, are quite timid, and they are careful to toe the line, especially in corporate South Africa, because they know that government carries a big stick, and they can find themselves in some very difficult and dangerous murky waters if they criticize government, if they criticize particular ministers. And I think it's brave of Rob to have done what he did, and we'll talk to him later. But we also want to talk to him about what's going on in the news this week, about some of the new developments in politics. And, you know, here on this show, as Pumi will tell you, we don't have any sacred cows. We're happy for people to come on and express their views. In fact, we're hoping more places will start doing this so that it isn't just our responsibility, or, you know, the odd BizNews conference's responsibility to speak the truth about what's going on in South Africa. We've got an election coming up in, it's just one day over.
31 days.
One day over a month, and we will be there. 51? November. Yes, November the 1st. Sorry.
31.
That's, jeez, my calendar's all over the place. I said, thank you, Pums. I said to Mbulelo this morning when I came online, I said, Tim, this is my absolute favorite time of the year. I keep saying it. I just love it. My mom always has made Christmas so special. So the downhill ride to Christmas through October and November is like I'm on a go-kart and I'm just going at full speed. And it's just an open road. I love it. Makes me so happy. So it does go too fast for my life.
Especially when you wake up on a morning like today.
Oh, right? Isn't it great?
Little drizzly outside. Mm. Finally, all that hay fever.
I know.
Dust in the air.
So you guys do the show with me every Thursday, and Bulelo does it for his pains every other day. And you know how I sneeze and carry on, and I've got the tissues here next to me. That's usually for July, August, and a little bit of September. I don't need the tissues to, well, I'm touching wood, but you know, now the hay fever goes, everything's green, the birds are chirping at 5 a.m. It's light. It's
a little earlier than that. A little bit earlier than that.
That's so nice. Anyway, we did get some rain last night, which is very good in Gauteng, and we needed it badly. And just in case that isn't enough good news for you, if you are one of those people, and I have every reason to believe that lots and lots of our listeners here on cliffcentral.com are into cryptocurrency, just to top it off, Bitcoin's back up to $43,600 after a bumpy week where China banned cryptocurrency, so there's another reason to smile. All right, a few things we need to get into. Bulelo's a bit annoyed that he's seeing Christmas stuff in the shops already. I saw something on Tuesday. You know those hampers that people buy and then they distribute to, you know, people that they want to help or whatever it is? It's got like a Christmas sticker on it, and it's all those essentials and things. I saw one of those in my local shop, or a couple of those in my local shop the other day, but I haven't seen decorations or heard the music or anything. I think that starts now, October, you know, next couple of weeks.
I saw like a Father Christmas packaging, like these little things with Father Christmas stuff. Like walking in, like, come on, guys, come on. You know, because generally that means guys are taking time off at work and whatever. So we still got 3 months left in the year.
Yep.
We can't now be already oaks are smashing beers at, what, 12 in the afternoon. You know, they say December is 31 Saturday.
Yeah. I've decided to go on a bit of a detox for the next 3 weeks, just purely as an experiment to see how much weight I can lose, A, and B, I'm eating very carefully along with the detox, so no alcohol and other bad influences like staying up late or any of that stuff. I just want to do a purely scientific experiment for 3 weeks and see how many kilograms drop off of me while I'm doing this.
What's your control? What are the things that you're dropping off? Besides the alcohol.
Okay, so this is pretty simple. A friend of mine is doing it as well, and he and I had a conversation on Tuesday, and he's like, well, this is what he's doing, and he's already I mean, he was never fat, but he's kind of getting into shape super fast. He's dropping carbs, so there are none of those in the diet. You know, normally in the mornings I have a little espresso with some foam. It's like almost a little Americano almost, or something like that. I can't remember what the term is for it, but I had a plain black coffee this morning, so no milk. I'm cutting out milk. I'm cutting out sugar in every kind of variety. So no snacks, no sugars, no carbohydrates, or as few as I can possibly manage. And no fruit, because I don't want any of that fructose either. So I'm doing protein. It's kind of a keto thing, I suppose. And I'm exercising every day. And I'm cutting out the drinking for 3 weeks. So those are my controls.
And why are you doing it?
Just want to see if it creates enough of a dramatic result, because I'm the kind of person who is, I'm only made enthusiastic about things. I'm only motivated when I see results. I don't get motivated by the idea of ticking a goal off a list or any of that stuff. So if I look in the mirror in 3 weeks' time and I can see even just a noticeable difference, which I know I will, in 3 weeks of doing this, you definitely will, right? Then it'll spur me on to bring more controls in, and then I'll get to a point where eventually I'm on a proper road of self-improvement. And I haven't really stopped exercising the whole way through lockdown. I've been very disciplined about that. But it's the eating that I needed to take control of, the eating and the drinking. And I'm now going to implement those two. We'll see.
Main event of the lockdown.
What?
Eating and drinking was the main event of the lockdown.
So,
like, you know, watching TV, just walk past the fridge.
Yeah.
Sitting at your desk, walk past the fridge.
But I haven't overdone it.
Dare I suggest why don't you just do that for the rest of your life? Like, well, just stop drinking and eating crap food for the rest of your life.
I'm kind of hoping that you see, Bulelo, if I see a huge improvement, even if I see a noticeable improvement, I will. I'll do that for the rest of my life. It's very easy for me to implement those kinds of things. I've done it 100 times. If I want to learn something, I learn it like motherfucker, but if I don't want to learn something, you can take the horse to water and you can't make me drink. I will just stare blankly at you for hours and not take any interest. But if I want something, if something really appeals to me, yo, there's nothing that can stop me then. And I know it's a, you know, it's like a train that's just going at full steam ahead. So I'm hoping to get there. Let's see. I'll report back in 3 weeks and let you know.
We'll report back to you in 3 weeks because we can see you.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'll do the show with no clothes on, and we'll be able to tell then. I promise I will not do a Richard Spoor on you. That I won't do. Yeah.
Although, having said that, a lady has told me that if you are in like super shape, it does give that a little more sort of the aesthetic of extra length. So maybe,
oh, right.
Maybe
oh.
You may need to use that as a control. Yeah,
I might need that.
We're in the brainstorming phase. Let's not. There's no bad ideas in brainstorming.
I will.
So. Martel says, Martel Mshlanga says, I'm joining you, Gareth. It's October, no alcohol and sugar for the whole month. Yeah, that's kind of the plan. Someone here.
I just want you all to know there's a chocolate in my fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for this show to end.
You're allowed, Pums. You can do what you. I'm not one of those people who tries to make other people do what I'm doing. You know, you go ahead. 16 to 8 intermittent fasting works. Yeah, that's another thing I'm doing. So
What does that mean? 16 to 8. What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I think they mean hours. 16 to 8 hours of intermittent fasting. But what I'm doing now is I eat my last meal at night, supper time, and then I only have another meal at lunchtime the next day. And I don't get hungry in between. I'll just have water or coffee, and not a lot of coffee. And then at lunchtime, I'm ready to have the next meal. But I'm, again, sticking to those rules I mentioned earlier. It's kind of boring, but I thought I'd bring it up anyway because now I'm doing it.
But sorry, I was gonna let it go, but I still don't understand why you're doing it. Like do you want to enjoy your life more? Do you want to look better? I'm not too sure. What is it for the aesthetic?
No, all of the above. I mean, first of all, I've always been very rude about fat people, so I cannot allow myself to get fat because they will climb into me and I'll deserve it. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Purely the motivation of fear. The second one is I want to look better because I feel...
Fear's a good motivator.
It's a good motivator, right? The second one is I want to look better because I'm superficial as fuck, and if I'm going to be superficial about other people, then they can be superficial about me, and I'm not getting any younger. If I don't do it now, it's never going to happen. The third reason is because I like the feeling of not being heavy and not being fat and not being lumbering and not being slow. I've never been massively overweight, but I could definitely do with some improvement. And I would like the idea of feeling lighter and feeling fitter and feeling better. And I know how that feels because I've been there before. So that's pretty much in a nutshell. And then, of course, I could set a trend for myself. I could set a new normal. We've used that term a lot in the last while. But I could set a new normal that I quite like the feeling of and then stick to that for the rest of my life. So let's go. Let's go. Let's do it.
And are you? When will you be taking some suggestions? Because I might suggest we do a little longer than a month. Set out your goals a little longer than that.
I'm happy to.
The real but differences.
As I said to you, if I don't see a noticeable result, I'm not going to be motivated to carry on. So I'll report back in 3 weeks.
Fair dinkum.
I'll say to you in 3 weeks, listen, I see an improvement. I feel an improvement. Let's keep moving. And then I can take advice from you on cardio or on eating plans or on other kinds of exercise and activity that I might take an interest
mindset.
In. Mindset.
It's all mindset. It's not about diet. Mindset.
Okay.
Mindset. That's all that matters. Mindset.
Carl says, Gareth, if you get any fatter, the fat people eat you. They love their fatty foods. Yeah, that's great.
Oh
this
God.
Is interesting. So Kampamba says, we're doing October and Movember in the office, and each person donates $50. At the end, the company matches what we collect, and we donate it to cancer. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, again,
it's cool.
It's nice to be around people who inspire you. Gareth, don't follow Mbulelo. You'll end up having no life. Yeah, I know. I'm careful
That's
to
true.
Walk that tightrope. I don't want to become like Mbulelo.
That's true.
So, guys, there's a lot to cover this morning, and I don't want to mess around with boring stuff about what I'm doing, because Angela Merkel had a meeting with Vladimir Putin, and Pumi saw this picture, and she has a lot to say about it. So let me show you the picture. All right, here's the picture of what Pumi's talking about. So there's Angela sitting on the left-hand side, and there's Vladimir Putin, who's leaning back in his chair, and his big black dog, which looks
with
like...
With the smug look on his face. Look at that.
He's got a real, like, ugh. You know, I'm such a manipulator look on his face. And she is looking a little bit nervous. And there's this big black dog that's walking in front of them with a collar on. I think it looks like a Labrador, but I can't be sure.
It's a Labrador.
Okay.
It's a Labrador.
Okay, but Labradors are well known for being very nice, friendly dogs. They're seldom aggressive. But because it's completely black in color, it's wearing this collar, and it's slinking past like it's in charge. It makes me think it's a bit of a setup, because Pumi told me something I didn't know about Angela Merkel.
So Angela is, as you all know, there's been election season all over the world, the elections,
yep.
And
she's on her way.
16 years stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
So she's obviously also talking about all the times within her chancellorship, the things that have happened, the things that stick out, the things that are in her memory. So that happened quite a while ago. She has a fear, an absolute phobia for dogs.
Hmm.
And young Vladimir knows this, and they had a meeting. It was, I don't remember what it is that they had to come negotiate about. And this guy, that is the day he decides he's bringing his two dogs to the office. On the day that I'm having this, you know, meeting with the German chancellor,
wow,
who has a phobia for dogs. And, you know, the thing, and she was talking about it over the weekend. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when Barack Obama left office, he also said, you know, he was just like, that Vladimir Putin, that guy's a jackass. And I thought, well, that's, you know, America, Russia. But seeing that, I was just like, and Ursula's response was that, you know, she just thinks that Vladimir has, you know, issues of needing to kind of perk up his manhood.
Yeah.
That's why he did that. I was like, this guy is an absolute asshole.
Well, he's
absolutely.
He's a Bond villain. So if he knows you're afraid of sharks, he's going to have his meeting with you at the aquarium. And if anything he can do to get the upper hand. And that's how power politicians play. You know, he's not messing around. He will take whatever advantage he can. I mean, again, I'll bring up that.
I know. So the Olympics team, the Russian Olympics team getting ready to go to the Olympics. He's I think, jiu-jitsu or something.
Yep.
Comes, you know, arrives in his suit to come, like, for a training session with the guy. I'm just like, this guy.
He knows how to play.
Guy.
He plays
he's
the game.
He's doing it.
He's 100% old school about it, but he knows what messaging works. I mean, this is classic posturing. Classic. The guy is very good at taking advantage of everyone else's weaknesses. Don't think you're going to let if he finds out that you're afraid of something, he will use it to his advantage.
And, I mean, he doesn't make a secret of the fact that he actually spies on all these other leaders, and so he has files
sure.
on everybody. He knows mm-hmm. what they, you know, so that he can use it to his advantage. Jeez, look at Tracy's Tracy Barthey. That's exactly it, right? You just see him, look at his body language,
says,
his smirk. His
Tracy
smirk.
Says a body language expert would have had a field day with this picture. Look at her tight lips, Vlad's open torso, and yet he is fig leafing. So much going on there. Yeah. It's an interesting picture. If you Google Angela Merkel dog, that's the first picture that comes up.
But Putin's no worse than any, like, most people in the northern suburbs who own dogs. Like, there's this thing now where we also pay to go to nice restaurants. Please don't bring your dog. Like, why do people think they can bring their dog to restaurants and stuff? Like,
well,
people with kids and dogs and Vladimir Putin are the most self-centered people in the whole world. Well, it's unbelievable.
I agree with you on pets at restaurants. I don't like that. I also don't see the point of people going shopping with their pets. It's totally unnecessary. And your pet will survive if you just leave them at home for like 10 minutes. They're not going to die, you know. Fact is, a lot of people are obsessed, and some people don't have anyone else in their life but their pets. And I'm not making excuses for them. But Vladimir Putin, all he's got in his life is power, and all he cares about in his life is power. So that's why he will take advantage of every opportunity to make you feel weak and small and pathetic. And it does give you an advantage. I mean, you remember the Frost-Nixon interview, right? Where Nixon drew attention to Frost's shoes because Frost was wearing a pair of loafers with little tassels on them. And Nixon, who was a, you can call him whatever you want, but he was a real man. He was a weaselly man, but he was a man nonetheless.
Macho
man, like a straight up alpha male who, again, politically, Nixon would do whatever it took, even sending people into the Watergate building to see what his enemy was up to. And he sat there and he looked at Frost and he said, hello, Mr. Frost. Frost said, hello, Mr. President. And he said, those are very effeminate shoes you have on. And what it did is it completely destabilized David Frost for the first 10 minutes of the interview. And all those hard questions that he was going to ask with a specific attitude, he had to move off of. He had to change his tack because he was completely thrown by what Nixon had said. And this is what you do. This is how you take it. I mean, Prince Philip was famous at doing this. No one ever got to interview Prince Philip without him asserting himself right at the start of the interview, or dismissing questions he thought were stupid, or straight up insulting people if he thought that they made no sense. This is what you do.
Yeah, but you know what? It also got me thinking about this kind of, as she's thinking back on her career, is it also got me thinking about those assholes at the workplace. Mm. Like this is like a visual representation of those people that you work with that are just like, what's wrong with this guy?
Right.
That's what this is. And how do you deal with that shit, right? How do you I mean, I'm lucky. I get to work with people I like most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
People like you guys, people, and we get to pick, right? We get to pick the people that we work with as clients and as suppliers and all of that. But not everybody gets to do that. And how do you deal with that nonsense?
Having said that, Putin is actually one of the people I would probably, I kind of like in politics, because the rest of them are up to the same thing, right? Like, let's be clear, geopolitics is about power. It's not about anything else. Yeah. It is about asserting your power. What he's doing is, I'm not going to apologize for it. Whereas, you know, in the Americans and the Brits, they kind of try and dress it up in nice suits and, hello, how are you? And whereas Putin's going, no. It's the Russia show here. And now we know, especially now, all the natural gases, I believe it's about 80% of Europe. Mm-hmm. That's through us. Gazprom does that. You want some? You come to me. You don't sleep in the dark. And we're clear about it, you know. I kind of like Putin for that. I'm not saying I like what he does, how he conducts himself.
You know why you
but
would...
he's one of my favorite politicians for that.
Yeah, and one of the reasons you'd really like him is if you were Russian. Because you would know to have that guy on your side is better than to have some flimsy, flopsy, Boris Johnson-y, bumbling, stumbling, trying to be polite kind of turd.
Yeah, well, they're gonna have him until he dies.
And you know what? Most Russians, ironically, are okay with that. Which is, you know, for those of us who believe in limited term of government, we believe in democracy, for us that bothers us, but it doesn't bother the average Russian. Trust me, they've come out of a lot worse. I mean, many of them can still remember Stalin and Brezhnev and, you know, Khrushchev and people like
Gorbachev.
That. Gorbachev. Yeah.
And even those late years of young Gorbachev.
And remember Boris Yeltsin not so long ago. I mean, he was the one before Vlad.
Yeah.
And Boris Yeltsin was always, always drunk. And they still loved him.
Yeah. Hammer. The Tabo Mama Becky of that region.
Correct. The Tabo Mama Becky. All right. So a couple of things. First of all, this is probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen on television, and someone forwarded me the clip. Now, I'm not, and you know this, I'm not pro or anti-vaccine. I think that the vaccines, if anything, are a miraculous thing that we should celebrate, because if it gets us back to normal and people are able to resume their lives, then it is a very good thing that I'm entirely in favor of. The problem I have is the propaganda around it, and I don't like the fact when government's trying to sell you something hard, I'm always suspicious, even if it's a perfectly good thing. And in this case, I don't believe that vaccines are evil, because there are many countries in the world who we know would not do their citizens damage. Countries like Israel that have been through all kinds of things. The last thing they're going to do is try and hurt their own people. But when I see an idiot like Stephen Colbert, and I never thought he was an idiot before, but I think more and more when I see clips of what he does on his show, it just starts to worry me that all these guys have lost their purpose. Whether it's Kimmel, or whether it's the other Jimmy, or whether it's the fat James Corden, or whether it's this Stephen Colbert, they all seem to be singing from the same hymn sheet, which really bothers me. And a lot of it isn't even funny. I just want you to see this clip quickly of Stephen Colbert. Oh, hang on. I think I've... Sorry, I think you lost me for a second there. You hear me now?
Yeah.
So I want you to see this clip of Stephen Colbert and like a whole bunch of dancers in stupid like outfits dressed as needles, like vaccination. Have you seen this?
Fuck. As needles.
It's so bad. So this is a dance thing.
I'm ready for it.
Now tell me, A, if you think this is funny, because if you think it's funny, and Stephen Colbert is supposedly the smart late night guy, right? He's the one who appeals to smarter people. So if it's funny, you can give it one thumbs up. If you think it sends a message that needs to be sent, put two thumbs up. And if you love Stephen Colbert more after this, put three thumbs up, because for me it's all three down. Take a look. Okay, this is ridiculous. I can't watch more of it than that. So they've got four dancers dancing with him. He's doing like
what is actually going on?
I don't know, but they've got like an animated injection needle dancing around on the screen too, and it says vaccine, as in V-A-X, and then the word scene underneath. And I don't know what the point of this is, other than to like be political about the vaccine and to say that having the vaccine makes you a good person. Do you know, it just drives me crazy, because if that video was the only thing I saw, I would never get the vaccine. It has the opposite effect on me that Stephen Colbert is, I think, trying to achieve here. Tell me what you think.
Oh, I think it's not a Stephen Colbert thing. It's like blaming the police in South Africa for doing a terrible job. He's just a puppet. There's a big machine around him that's driven by money. That those are the people you got to say, because he who pays the piper plays the tunes.
So this is Big Pharma, and they say to him, do a segment where you are making people think about the vaccine in a positive way, because it's certainly not funny.
Well, I mean, I'd have to know who pays for advertising on CNBC or whatever. That's who forces that message on. Like, Colbert doesn't have the power.
Right.
He gets told what to do. As much as we want to think he's this big powerful man, he's not. They will move on from it.
What do you say, Puss?
I mean, I don't like it. I don't watch any of that stuff.
No, it's horrible.
I wish I could have heard his monologue before they did that.
Yeah, it's bad, eh? That is
so
bad.
I could have heard that monologue, you know, so that I have a context of what I've just seen.
If you just watched that, what do you think?
Dickhead.
Yeah.
Dickhead. Who are you? You're a dickhead. And I'm pro-vaxxing.
Me too.
I'm pro. You're a dickhead. That's what I think.
That's bad. It's having the opposite effect that I think he wants it to have.
Ugh.
Or his masters want it to have.
It's weird. It's just weird.
Oh, so I had to play that for you.
Weird.
Anyway, we got this message on, I think this was on Twitter this week, from somebody about Bulelo. Look at this. I love Cliff Central, but I wish Gareth Cliff could get rid of that black DA guy. I think it's Bulelo.
am I DA just because I sound like a what?
I don't know what it is.
Because I sound like a what?
Someone doesn't like you.
Sound like a what?
Another day, another crit of Bulelo. That's what happens here. Nico does
want to live with themselves.
Nico says that those guys on the Stephen Colbert clip look like a bunch of blue dildos on their heads. Yes, Gareth, Big Pharma pays the bills of all the shills. I mean, I'm certainly, if you look at all the latest entries into the billionaire category in America, four of them, I think, out of six are all Big Pharma people. And I'm not surprised. I mean, these vaccines have made a lot of people rich. But it's having that conspiratorial effect, which it shouldn't have. If people just, you know, well, we're in a pandemic, we need to get better, we need to get back to normal, this is the sensible thing to do. They're selling it so hard that it makes me very, very nervous. I don't understand it. It's really bad. I lost respect for Stephen Colbert and how his views were on politics 3 years ago, says Rebellious Ruth. I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway. Bulelo's a mensch, says Sweet Pea. Tell that guy to fark off. Okay. We will. All right, so we've got a couple of headlines to get to this morning. Do you want to know what's going on in the news? Are you excited about what's
Absolutely.
Going on in the news? All right, well, lucky you, Absolutely. Because here we go. You've got to say it like Gedleti Kisa, Pumi. Try again. Go. Just put your,
I don't know.
Put your middle finger here at where the bridge of your nose is and go, hey, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you've got to give a at the end of it.
A what?
Like you've just taken a nice nice bite of something sweet.
Yeah. That's where the difference comes. That's where the difference.
Exactly. All right, so listen to this. You know Princess Charlene, who we call Prisoner Charlene. So she apparently put out a cryptic post that has a whole lot of people concerned about her state of mind. Spending long months away from your loved ones can be a lonely experience. For Princess Charlene of Monaco, it must be extremely hard after being separated from her twins and Prince Albert for several months. The Monaco Royal regularly updates her 330,000 Instagram followers on her foundation and conservation work while she's staying in KwaZulu-Natal due to complications from a severe ear, nose, and throat infection. But her most recent post has left some questioning, especially the European press, if she's doing okay. So, the cryptic post is this, and it was to coincide with the Monte Carlo Gala for Planetary Health. The first clip shows her saying, "I'm wishing Prince Albert II of Monaco Foundation and Princess Charlene in Monaco Foundation for the evening's fundraiser a successful and magical moment." Now, what's wrong with that? It was the last clip that
it's a bit
got
clinical.
Everyone. It's very, very cold, right? It was the last
her husband,
clip.
Yeah.
Exactly. The last clip and caption that got attention that read, "As I was born of the ocean, so the ocean was born of me. I present to you a piece of both."
Oh, my God.
And then there's an image of Charlene wearing a tiara while she's submerged in water that was taken by a photographer. According to the publication, the video is widely interpreted as an attempt by the princess to show that she remains attached to Monaco. Not everybody saw it this way, with the newspapers in Monaco calling her message enigmatic, while Elle magazine said it was mysterious, and the Times said it raised concerns. And some people say that she left Monaco in a huff. "She didn't leave because she was mad at me or anyone else. She was going down to South Africa to reassess her foundation's work there and take a little time off with her brother and some friends." So who knows? That's
you know who does too much? She's doing too much there with the from the ocean. Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, who's now the husband of somebody running in politics, and this lady. You're doing too much. Don't you do the ocean thing. You're already rich. And also, can we appeal? If your partner is the president, can you please shut the hell up?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. Like, Bill, you had your time. Now it's your wife. We want to hear from her. Bill, we're done with you. But Michelle Obama is doing way too much. She did way too much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to know what Barack Obama's wife is doing. Please. And also to you, Miss Princess Lady, I don't need to know about what Miss, the ocean, what I'm from the ocean. It is me.
Well, speaking of royals, King Misuzulu, who's Pumi's new king, is expected to meet with all the major houses of the Zulu royal family in Ulundi on Wednesday in a bid to restore unity. Amid the raging feuds which continue at the royal court, the king of the Zulu nation has called a mass gathering of royals who will be embroiled in a bitter kingship dispute, or have been rather, since King Goodwill Zwelithini passed in March. Some royals have questioned the legitimacy of King Misuzulu as the rightful heir. The family have assured those who were not invited that their interests would be fully represented, while another faction who does not recognize him has cautioned family members about attending the meeting. So this has been going on for a long time. I mean, the king died in March. March, and it's now October, and they're still arguing about this. And this is because succession law is not clear. Like, if you know what happens when the Queen of England dies, because for 1,000 years, the eldest son of that monarch takes over. Now, in the Zulu court, it's different, and there are different rules that come into play. But as much as some of that is cultural, some of it's traditional, some of it's political, and some of it has to do with them making the best of whatever situation there is, it makes it unclear. So you end up making half the people or a quarter of the people or whatever percentage of the people unhappy about the decision, and the rest are okay with it, and you're going to end up with conflict. So clear this up once and for all. This is our rule. This is what we do from now on.
You know, there's a series on, I think, HBO or something called Succession, which is also, it's about that, right? It's about a family succession battle.
Right.
And those things are always so fascinating because it happens. It happens in business when a founder dies or retires or is leaving. It happens, and we saw a couple of days ago, it happens in churches in this country too, a couple of days ago. I don't know if any of you saw the march in Durban. Because of the ruling by the Constitutional Court. I mean, this succession battle in this particular church, in the Shembe Church, for those of you who are listening who don't know.
Right.
And then the ruling went one way. And what we saw in the march, those are the supporters of the person that lost. Just like...
And there are a lot of them. There's a lot of people. I don't know if you saw the visuals.
The person that lost. The supporters of that person filled the streets of Durban Central, and I'm just like, this is it's a shit show at the best of times. Whoa.
So, is he unhappy about the new Zulu king? What happened?
Carl only supports.
He's unhappy about the Shembe March.
Carl supports King. I want to be clear about this. Carl supports King Misuzulu. Okay, there's no...
Okay.
He's very clear. Just very clear.
Jeez, Carl.
It's just hectic.
And it's important.
Power and money, hey? Yeah. Power and money. That's what all of these things are about.
And Pumi, I think we spoke about on the Burning Platform. I mean, I was listening. I forget who the gentleman was who spoke about that for the stability, whether you agree with it or not. I mean, I think we should abolish all of it, but whatever. That's my own thing. It is important for the stability of... the tribe in South Africa. I mean, the number of Zulu people in that region is, we need it for the stability. We saw what happened last time when Mshele went to jail.
Yeah, because,
what happened? The power vacuum.
Yeah, we've spoken to people about precisely this on the Burning Platform before, so it's a good point Bulelo makes. So David Makura, who's of course the Gauteng Premier, he says that our province, Gauteng, is ready to move to alert level 1. And I agree. In fact, I would say we're ready to move to alert level 0. The Premier is visiting vaccination sites in Kutsong on the West Rand, and he said, it's time. It's time now that we move to level 1 because this is unnecessary. All these curfews, all these stupid rules, these things that are making no difference, we are moving very fast in Gauteng to get people vaccinated, and therefore there is no reason for people to keep on having to follow the dumb rules that Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma keeps. Okay, we'll do this another month. So good for David Makura. I know that he's probably saying this because he realizes that lockdown is so unpopular, as I predicted more than a year ago. But he's also aware of the fact that the elections are coming up in a month's time. And this is probably something that he is saying in order to curry favor with the general electorate. And rightly so.
From a fiscal point. Sorry, Gareth. I'm just thinking from a fiscal point. It's like we also must become comfortable as Gauteng. I think everybody knows it is. This is the engine that makes it all run.
Right.
We need different rules here. we need to be off the leash now. With if Gauteng isn't operating, South Africa will suffer financially, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a hot take.
Yeah, I don't think the lockdowns have been very popular with anybody from the get-go. Mm. But now, even the people who thought they were a good idea before are starting to see that they haven't had terribly much effect anywhere in the world. And countries that did lock down very strongly had the same kind of result as countries that didn't. So they didn't make any difference. In fact, in some ways, you could argue that lockdowns had the opposite effect of good because of all the collateral damage to the economy and to everything else. So those countries that locked down hardest are going to take the longest to recover. And I'm not just talking about from the virus. Anyway, told you so. We've been over this territory a million times. David Makura is finally on board. It takes politicians a long time because most of them are pretty stupid. Let's hope the other guy, says Mfundo, doesn't start a sub-Shembe church like the Catholic Church when it broke up and became many different churches in the, you know, in the Reformation. Because that could happen, right? Daniela says, I think Mbulelo should be the king of the Zulus. Best social experiment ever. Well, first of all, he's not Zulu, so that's not going to happen.
What are you today? Are you
Pedi? Yeah, what are you?
Well, it depends. It depends whether Khalema Motlanthe has cleaned his act up. I don't know. What has he said lately? Because after that, BBC. So, Xhosa for now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's see how it goes.
All right.
Let's see how it goes.
All right. Then we've got to move on to something else, which I wanted to show you. So this is a chart of Leonardo DiCaprio's age. He's the line that's going up, you know, the linear progression from the age of 24 to the age of 44, where he is at the moment. He's the same age as me. And those are his girlfriend's ages underneath. That's the more wavy line. The oldest he's ever dated is 25. And usually when a girl reaches 25, then he drops the age back down to 20, 21, 22, 23. He's never gone over 25. Yeah. You can see his age keeps going up. Obviously, he's getting older every year. But the girls he dates, they all are sub-25. And when he reaches a 25, he goes back down again. That's his upper limit.
Awesome.
No matter what his age.
Awesome.
Now, I want your comments on this, because Leo DiCaprio certainly looks better than many other 44-year-olds his age. He seems to be enjoying his life a whole lot more than most of us. And even though he occasionally opens his mouth to complain and bleat about the environment or whatever else it is, it doesn't stop him from using a private jet whenever he likes or going on some friend's yacht or having a happy time with whichever beautiful girl happens to be at his side. So any life lessons that we can learn from Leo DiCaprio based on this excellent chart which has been compiled?
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Can I see that chart again, please?
Sure.
2 seconds. Let's see it.
There it is. And he's got Giselle, Bara Faley, Blake Lively, Aaron Heatherton, Tony Guerra, Kelly Rohrbach, Nina Agdel, and Kamita Morane, who's his latest one. I hope I got some of the, or Camilla. I can't read those names, but there they are. I've never heard of half these people.
And who they type?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Listen, he does have a type, which is actually excellent self-awareness, is that, you know, most of us are so, we want to fit some template that's made by other people.
Mm-hmm.
Leo DiCaprio says there are rules and we're sticking to them.
Yeah.
So he knows what makes him happy.
Yes.
And he's not going to go, oh, what's it going to look like if I'm with a 20-year-old? No, that's what makes me happy.
Right.
And I'm going to stick to it. He's never going to whinge about his life.
Well,
never.
I mean, Cunning Stunt says, and I feel like Cunning Stunt's a little bitter here, but Cunning Stunt says it took him a while to win an Oscar. It might also take him a while to grow up. Yeah, but that sounds like... That sounds like someone who's bitter.
Yes.
It sounds like someone who's bitter because they've got the same linear progression as the girl that they're with, for example, or the guy that they're with.
And what does grow up mean? Like it's so like Catholic, right? It's so puritanical. Like, grow up and get a husband, get a wife.
No,
we don't need to hear from you just because you're miserable after your third divorce or whatever. No, like, don't do that to us. Leo must do his thing, you doing your thing.
And it could also be that
I love it.
It could be that these girls all mature at the same rate, and when they get to 25, they get bored with him. It could be that. you know, they realize they need something more at 25 than Leo DiCaprio. They're like, well, this guy's the same. Because certainly in the beginning, Giselle and, you know, the ones that he dated for a bit longer, you can see that they give him a few years. But when they get to 25, they might also want to fall off the Leo DiCaprio page.
Do you think that they like, as you start dating him at 22 or whatever, you kind of go, okay, have a ticking clock that says by 25, got to be out of here by 25. Mm. Or he's got a countdown that says,
whoever, it certainly works. It's working for him because he is, as I said earlier, he's a paragon of youth, of enjoyment of his life. He certainly attained all kinds of career successes and has done that in between all of this. But in terms of his dating history, I don't feel like Leo DiCaprio is someone you need to feel sorry for.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Sorry for
Blake Lively and Giselle Bundchen. So no, he's fine. But on a very serious note, you know what might annoy most of us? It's what the 1% do better than us. Right?
Yeah.
It's exactly. That they do what they say they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us are big at talking, oh, I want to change my life. And
yeah.
He's doing what he says he's going to do. I'm going to date girls under 25. And what irks people is we don't have the chutzpah to do what we say we're going to do. No. Well, he's even better. He's not saying it. He's doing it.
Right.
Because lots of people say things.
Yeah.
He's doing it. You know, a 95-year-old friend of mine always says, Junior, she calls me Junior. She says, hey, you are what you do, not what you say. Mm-hmm. Your character is what you do, not what you say. And right. Leo's what he does.
I love
and
this.
That people hate you when you do what you say you're going to do.
Graham is really poking the bear here, but he says, it's funny how it's always women over 30 who are having a cry, hey?
Oh, God, Graham. Oh, my demon. Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah.
I think there might be some like 40-year-old men who are not with 25-year-olds who are also having a cry.
Most of them, because they can't be with 20-year-olds. There's very few 20-year-olds who want to be with a 40-year-old, and there are very few 40-year-olds who want to be with a 20-year-old. But whatever blows you...
You've got to be also got to be a type of a 44-year-old for a 25-year-old to want to be with you. That's the other thing.
I don't have a problem with that. I personally would not be unhappy with that outcome. Just saying. Anyway, I know what I was like, says Robin.
But you know what he
at 25.
Doesn't get,
my
Leo.
Poor boyfriends, I was a nightmare, she says. Well, okay. Yes, sorry, Pums.
But you know what? But what's also quite fascinating to watch is how nobody says, ooh, predator. If he were an older woman.
No.
If he were an older woman with a younger man, oh, Lord.
You think so?
I don't know. I don't know because
listen.
I don't have a problem, for example, with Jane Fonda, who's always around much younger men. I think that's fine. And she's in her 80s.
So I just read Gabriela Union's latest book, mm-hmm. right? Got Anything Stronger. And she is 9 years older than Dwayne Wade.
Right.
And the kind of hate she seems to be getting about, like, what? Just like 9 years. You know, it's like, ooh,
yeah.
Old woman with your old body. How dare you be old?
Well,
how dare you be old?
Red Robin,
desire a young
Red
man?
Robin says, my aunt is a cougar, but she has her limits. She says he has to be old enough to buy her a drink. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Graham says, I call bullshit. Look at Ashton Kutcher with Demi Moore for all those years. Yeah. No one had a problem with that. Right?
No.
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 And look at Madonna. I mean, Madonna is, I don't think she's ever been with anyone her own age at any stage of her career.
I mean, that's tough. Madonna's, 140? That would be tough.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all very, very much fun and games. And then.
Oh, I love that. Madonna's dating a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
How do you people know this stuff?
Well, Melissa's on top of it. She knows what's going on. Good
that's
for
awesome.
You, Melissa. And Meryl Streep.
How old is Madonna now? Like
my favorite older woman. Madonna is 60. We talked about it just the other day. Let me just look it up.
She's dating a 26-year-old.
Yeah, she is 63.
The material girl, undefeated.
She's 63 years old.
Hey, wow. Get him, material girl. Get him, 26-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, man.
Good.
That's why she... Oh, you know what? And Pumi's right. I was displaying toxic masculinity. I thought Guy Ritchie got rid of her. Mm-hmm. Meantime,
she probably
material girl says... Yeah. Ah, you're old. Go to the scrap heap. 26-year-old. Right. Upgrade.
Absolutely. just want to quickly...
Younger, fresher, newer model.
I want to play you something before we wrap up this hour. I thought this is very sweet. There's a We spoke about him earlier this morning, Prince Philip. They've done a little tribute where they've interviewed members of the royal family for the BBC. And the opening clip is just very, very sweet. It's Prince Charles talking about his dad on the day before he died. And I thought you might want to see this because I think that the documentary's on the internet now or whatever. So you could probably watch it. But just this little clip is very sweet. Just watch this.
I was talking to him. Oh, yeah, the day before he died, you know. I mean, we're talking about his birthday, you know, coming up. And I said, we're talking about your birthday, because he's getting a bit deaf. What? And I said, we're talking about your birthday, and whether there's going to be a reception. He said, well, I've got to be alive for it, haven't I? I said, I knew you'd say that. Anyways, it's a happy memory.
Isn't that sweet? He goes, anyway, it's a happy memory. Where his dad was still taking the piss at like the day before his death. He's like, well, I've got to be alive. You can just imagine.
Jeez, but he's looking old.
Charles, well, he is old.
Jeez.
His mother's 94 or something now. The Queen. So he's still hanging on waiting for his chance on the throne. But you know what? I think he's becoming more and more... kind of respectable old man, because when Charles was younger, he was a disaster. And up to very recently, he was still a disaster. And now he's got this kind of just a village elder look to him, which I think makes him more acceptable. Anyway, it's kind of sweet.
By the way,
yes.
Can I just say,
no.
you know my thoughts on all that royal nonsense,
no, you hate
them. Hey, that suit. That yeah, suit, my
good,
guy.
Good suit.
Cyril,
yeah.
Take a look, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take a look. That guy's old, but that thing is... That's a suit.
Fits properly.
That's a suit.
Yeah.
Do you think Mrs. Bowles had any effect on calming young Charles
big
down
time.
And kind
big
of grounding
time.
Him in? You
Look,
know?
Pums, I've been the biggest supporter of Camilla from the get-go because you can tell this is real love. You know, the fairy tale, everybody tried to sell us the fairy tales being Princess Diana. And while she was beautiful and glamorous and all of those things, and I cannot take any of that away from her, she wasn't the fairy tale. And younger. The fairy tale was that this man was head over heels in love from the earliest age with Camilla. And despite all the trials and tribulations and the very complicated situation that he found himself in, or that he made for himself, that Diana also was part of, that the Queen and everybody else interfered in, eventually he ended up with his sweetheart. And she just loves him, and he just loves her, and they support each other. We should all wish for a relationship like that, where it's just so easy. They look so easy around each other. There's no awkwardness. You could see that they don't want anything from each other. She doesn't want to be Queen. She was sticking around in the background, being dutiful. She doesn't look for attention. She's not needy. I think he really wants her around, and he feels very connected to her, and I think that's beautiful. That's the, honest to God, that is the real fairy tale. People don't like it because it doesn't look as glamorous and, you know, the beautiful young princess, but this is real love, and I think that's magic. There are very few places in life where we can point to that and say that's a real love story.
Kudos to her for pulling off the ultimate female move. One thing I have noticed about ladies as I get older is they will outweigh anybody. And she went, I'll outweigh that Diana thing. That's going to end.
That's right.
I'll be around.
And people,
so shout out.
And people don't mind. You know, they hated her while Diana was still alive. And they hated her immediately after Diana died. And they were like, that she's the other woman. And she never tried to defend herself. She never... did anything for attention like Meghan and Harry are doing. She just quietly went about the business, cutting ribbons, holding Charles's hand, making sure she was there in the background. And now people have kind of just come to accept her because people's memory is short And people actually don't—they don't really care about anyone else's relationships. They pretend to, but they don't really care.
You know what I hope? You know what I hope? I hope actually, Kath. I love how you framed her now. I can't wait when she becomes queen and she does a total flip, like right.
She becomes the wicked stepmother.
I am
here
now. Those all of those Diana statues, take them down, Charles. Take them down like yesterday.
Can you imagine? Imagine she becomes like this.
None of those frocks that Diana used to wear can be sold in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Picture goes full on.
Yeah.
That English rose, no more.
No more.
Yes.
We demand.
Yeah. Don't sell it anymore.
We demand the horseshoe as our badge from now on. I don't know. Anyway, it's all good fun. We've got the Burning Platform coming up in a short while. A good one this morning, which I think you're going to love. It is with Pumi. It is with Canthan. And our guest this morning is Rob Hirsov, who's been making waves in the news in the last couple of days. All of that's coming. Pums, you wanted, just before we go to the break, you wanted to talk about R. Kelly. We went over it yesterday, but I'm sure you've got something to say.
Did you? I missed your show yesterday, guys.
No, but I want to hear what you think of it.
You know,
because some people are really, really angry and want him to rot in jail. Other people are like, we can still listen to his music, even if we don't disagree with him. And we had a huge debate. What's your position?
He should rot in jail. Yeah. But so, obviously, with the verdict, the big thing that's making a big return is, do you remember that scene in The Boondocks?
Yes.
When he first got away, when he first was kind of acquitted.
Yeah.
And that, watching the people outside the courthouse still going, we believe in R. Kelly. There was that chubby woman going, we're not giving up on R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, guys, the guy can sing. Okay,
we
get it. He can sing. He's got good music. But he needs to be under the jail. Mm-hmm. The kind of shit he's been allowed to get away with.
I agree with you.
I just, and I liked his music as much as the next person, but I also understood why the Mute R. Kelly movement had to be.
Yeah.
Because you had to take away where his source of power was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, we were talking about how people they're not able to separate.
Is somebody calling me Mbulelo Tinta on this show here?
Oh, did someone call you Mbulelo Tinta?
Oh my God!
Sorry, there's Pumi Mashiko.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got to get to the Burning Platform, which is coming up in a second. But it does seem interesting to me that with this R. Kelly thing, it gives people room again to assess whether or not they are personally capable of splitting off a song, which they might like, from an artist who's a horrible person. And if you can't do that, you have no business being on the internet, because you're exactly the kind of person who also cancels people for an opinion that you don't like. So it's an instant indicator of childishness to me, is that people want to cancel
someone. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take like those loudspeaker backpacks. You know, in Rosebank, where all the trust fund kids sit. Like, if you're not there's restaurants where if you're not an interracial couple, you can't even go there, kind of like PC vibe is. And then just blast out, a city of justice, a city of love, Gotham City. And just see what they do.
You will be lynched.
It'll be awesome.
You'll be lynched. They will kill you. All right, guys, we'll be back in a moment or two. The Burning Platform is brought to you by Nando's. That's next. We've got the great Canthan Pillay rejoining us today for an episode of the show. And we've got Rob Hirsov joining us too. People who always make the news, sometimes inadvertently. And they're both ready to talk to us about all the events of this week, all the big stories that affect all of us, and the things that we're most interested here in South Africa. So stick around for all of that and more on the way next.
CliffCentral.com